I'm really enjoying today. I'm excited about this sermon, and I'm really hoping that God will really bless you. I really do. And, you know, for me, a reason I'm doing hashtag adulting is I really want to, and I hope you felt the flavor in this series, that I want you to experience growth, but I want you to be delivered from striving. I want you to experience growth, but I want you to be delivered from the idea that it begins with you. I want you to experience growth, but I want you to understand it's not through you and your performance, it's through you receiving the blessing of God in your life. There's a lot of people trying to be holy when you're already holy, trying to be sanctified when you're already sanctified. It's the craziest thing to be asking for God to do something that he's already done. So you are living out of the finished work of the cross. You're not trying to make happen what God already did. You're trying to, by revelation, just unpack how wonderful and glorious it is that God has done already in your life. And there's a ridiculous freedom that comes into your life. There's a unpacking, and there is a growing that takes place, but it takes place because of revelation of who you are. It doesn't take place because of your effort. If there's any effort, make every effort to rest. And what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to make every effort to rest in the fact that it is done, that it is finished, that it is complete. And now I just need to unpack. I just need to continue to grow in the grace of God and the revelation and the knowledge of who he is. So we got to grow in revelation. And when you grow in that revelation, it'll start to manifest. It'll start to bear fruit in your life because you're focusing on abiding in the vine. And the vine is what resources and provides and blesses. Have you ever been to a vineyard? Has anybody been to a vineyard? Have you stood there when it's time and the grapes are just starting to grow? Have you listened quietly and heard them going, That was rough, wasn't it? I mean, they're not grunting to try to manifest. Yet I see a lot of people trying in their own strength to be fruitful. You don't have to try. You just have to let it happen. You just have to lean into God. You just have to keep on drinking and embracing and taking in the resources of heaven and the blessing of God in your life. And it is a natural outworking of your abiding relationship as a child of God. I didn't have to try to look like my father. I didn't have to. It just happened. I was at my niece's wedding, and I was walking into the Golf and Country Club where the wedding was, and my sister-in-law, who I hadn't seen for quite a while, all of a sudden she went, "Carl!" And I went, "Yes." And she went, "Oh my God, I thought it was your dad." And she was freaking out. I went, "No, it's me." He says, "Oh," I was like, "Oh my God, he's dead." You know, but she said, "I can't believe how much you look like your dad." I didn't have to try to do that. You know, it was already built in. There was an impartation that the seed was already there. And here it is. And it's a really good looking specimen as well. It really is. Pretty awesome. Adulting, the act or practice of attending to the ordinary tasks required of a responsible adult. So we're kind of hitchhiking on that whole thing. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "Rather you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Grow, yes, grow, but grow in grace. Grow in a revelation of the grace of God and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what you need, because you're not lacking the ability. You're not lacking the quality. You're not lacking anything. Everything is there. Just lean into it. Dig into the revelation. Rest hard into God, and it'll be manifest in your life. In fact, striving and trying will actually make you less secure in who you really are. Adulting, grow in grace. Number one, it's a miracle. Number two, it's revelational. Number three, it's responsible. But number four, it's possible. Tertullian, say Tertullian. Tertullian was a church father, a theologian, a scholar in the second century. Here's what he said. He said, "Christ came to set up the kingdom of God on earth and to overthrow the power of Satan." Satan. That's why Christ came. That's why Jesus came. It says in the scriptures, it says in John, it's 1 John, it says that Jesus came. This is why he was manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he was manifest. Was he manifest?
Yeah.
Did he destroy the works of the devil?
Yeah.
Yes. then why are we still seeing it manifest? Because we haven't come into the full revelation and understanding of who we are. God is a kingdom God, and he's come to establish his kingdom in the earth, his kingdom to once and for all obliterate all of darkness. And it's time for us to grow in the revelation, in the grace, and the understanding of who we are. A kingdom is the governing influence of a king over his territory, impacting it with his will, his purpose, his intent, producing a citizenry. Citizenry, say citizenry. That's you. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. He's talking about you. See, he wants to establish a citizenry. See, God wants to establish a kingdom. There's no kingdom if there's no citizenry. So he's building his kingdom in the earth, which means he's adding people into the body of Christ. The church is that vehicle. It's that called out community that he is using for the purpose of establishing his kingdom in the earth. He didn't call you to come to church so that your next step is, let's get out of here, folks. Everybody ready? Let's go to heaven. Woo! We're out of here. No, he's got the church. The church is here to take over. The church is here to establish God's reign, God's rule in the earth. So producing a citizenry of people who reflect his culture, who manifest his nature, and who express his glory. Settled out. Jesus, Luke 4:43 said, I must preach the kingdom of God. I must preach it now to other cities also, because for this purpose I was sent. Why was Jesus sent? To preach the kingdom, to establish the kingdom, to call out a group of people, to establish a ministry, to establish a base on earth from which he would then establish the floor of heaven through a redeemed community, bringing the kingdom of God, the full manifestation of his glory all over the earth. Not in the sweet by and by, but right now. Right now. Say now. 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 Luke 12:32. Don't be afraid, little flock. It's the Father's. It causes him great happiness, gives him great happiness to give you the kingdom. I don't know about you. I love that verse, don't you? I mean, I love getting stuff. It's my birthday this week. I love. Last Thursday? Oh, that's behind us now. So. Happy birthday, Jen. November babies are the awesomest, the most bestest. Kingdom. But he said, I've given you. It's just, there's nothing makes the Lord more happy than to give you his reign, his rule, his power, his ability, the keys to unlock, the keys to shut down, the keys to loose. You know how incredible you really are. And God has made you incredible. But if we spend all this time trying to achieve things that are already done, if we waste all of our energy trying to grow into what he already achieved, if we spend all these, you know, sin modification and behavior modification sermons, instead of letting you live out of the identity of who you are, instead of telling you to try to do what God has already done and waste all kinds of time and years on that, why don't we just embrace it's done and get on about the business that God called us to? Got three happy people in the house. It's his good pleasure. I mean, that actually is a ridiculous scripture. The God who created all things, he's really here. He's really God. He's really awesome. And here's what brings him incredible pleasure. Think on this. Ponder it just for a minute. The God who created everything, you know what gives him joy and pleasure? To give you his kingdom. Holy Mackinac. Are you kidding me? You could have Jeff Bezos here with billions of dollars. You know what gets him happy? Everybody today is going to leave with $1 million. Woo! How many would be really happy about that? I would. You know, somebody way better than Jeff Bezos. Somebody owns his cattle on 1,000 hills. Somebody who says, let there be light and there's light. Somebody who creates commands. He holds universes in his hand. The guy who has all of that, the God who is almighty, all-powerful, he's nuts about you, and he gets pleasure in giving you not Jeff Bezos' kingdom, but his kingdom. Holy Mackinac, what would happen if we had half a dozen people who really believe that? God, we would change the world. We would change the world. If we think we're poor worms just trying to still get close to God, wallowing in our little self-help programs, and God, do you like me, God? Am I doing okay? He's nuts about you. He's never going to change his mind. Once and for all, he's established that he loves you with an everlasting love. He really does. It's the Father's good pleasure to give to you his gift of his rule, his ability, his glory, his influence. And the third person of the Trinity, Holy Ghost, moved into you to bring it all into manifestation. Amen. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost. What is it? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Please settle down. Stop running around the room. I'm trying to preach. You ever seen that show when it's when Oprah would have that thing before Christmas where she suddenly just give things away? And it was random. Nobody knew when it was. And you should check it online. I'm telling you, you should check it online. Because if you Google it and the show pops up, there's people all in there waiting for the show to start. Then all of a sudden, they come out and all of a sudden they realize, oh my goodness, it's that show. We're here on that show. You know why? Because she would give people cars underneath your seat as a gift. People would walk out with hundreds of thousands of dollars just ridiculously. But the people literally would fall out of their chairs weeping. They're flying all over the place, and it's just an Oprah show. And yet we got the King of Glory saying, nothing makes me happier than giving you the kingdom. Can I get a little praise God? Can I get a little thank you, Jesus? Yeah. Too late. You should have done it earlier. I mean, my God. I gotta force it out of you. It's just unnatural. Awful stuff. Mark chapter 10, 13 to 16, little passage of scripture. Listen up. Listen up. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch them and bless them. Now, I went to India, and India opened my mind to the Eastern world. India opened my mind to how things might have been, just a little bit more awareness. Because I did walk through groups of lepers. I had lepers touching me, and I went, gosh, there's really lepers. It was really strange. Went to a leper colony and did stuff like that. But then the crowds were crazy. We had people who wanted prayer. Pastor Tim jumped off the stage, and the stage was about 10 feet high. And when he got off the stage, they rushed the stage and literally pushed him right under the stage. And they had to go behind and push the people away and pull them out. But people, they would come after the services and they would push their children towards me and say, please bless my child, bless my child. And there would be hundreds just trying to get to our car. People were pushing their children. Please, please bless my child, bless my child. And I felt bad because we would leave and there were so many people still chasing the car going, please bless my child. And I was like, what are they doing? I don't know what they want from me. I don't even understand. But you see, in their mind, if you are a man of God, and you are who you say you are, and you just preached that sermon, and you told us you're anointed, and you said the way we loose it is by laying on hands, by preaching and doing that, the sick are healed, and they saw people healed, they saw people touch, but then they said, bless my child. And they wanted their children to get blessed. And this was the people. These are the parents. They're coming. And they're, you know, Jesus is there. And they're coming. And they're bringing their children. And they're pushing their child. They had to say, can the rabbi, can he bless my child? Jesus, bless my child. Bless my child. They came. And they brought their children. They pushed through the crowd. And they said, would you bless my child? But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. I hate that, don't you? Scold, stop it, get away. There's more important things to do than to bless your child. Hey, stop it. Hey, cut it out. I hate it whenever I see religion or some kind of bondage or somebody decide that I'm going to edit the guest list. I'm going to tell you who Jesus is important. I want to tell you who Jesus blesses and who he doesn't. And I want to tell you that some are in and some are out, and right now you're out. You and your kids, you're just bothering the master. Huh? There's all kinds of areas where we think that we get the right to say who's in, who's out. Who do we get? We get to edit the guest list and say who gets to get close to Jesus and who doesn't. I tell you what, everybody is welcome. It's not just a sign on the door. It's the truth. Everybody is welcome. But they scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry. Do a little Bible study. He was indignant. He was livid. It's the same word that he used to rebuke the storm. And it was a demonic storm. A storm that was trying to wash them into the ocean and kill and destroy them. He stood up and he rebuked the winds and the waves and they were silent. The same word he used to rebuke that demonic oppression is the same word he turned to his disciples and he rebuked them. He was indignant with them. He said, how dare you? How dare you presume to speak for me and tell me who's acceptable and who's not? The church has been doing it for years. Not this church. But I think that's what we think that that's the church's responsibility to call the balls and strikes in the world. call the balls and strikes on the church, for goodness sake. Anyway, so let's not go there again. Don't stop them. He said to his disciples, let them come. Don't stop them. 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 There's people coming. There's people with incredible needs. There's people with broken lives and hopes and dreams. And we're standing up here and saying, Jesus heals. Jesus saves. Jesus delivers. Jesus sets free. Hey, settle down over there. You know, tell your children to be quiet. Stop that over there. Hey, you look a little weird. I'm not sure we like you here. You know, don't stop them. Don't stop them. You know, I'm a little weird. Are you a little weird? Truth is, you're a little weird, honestly. I know everybody's been nice to you so far, but you're a little awkward. Let all the awkward people say amen. Amen. I love it, eh? I love being the church where all the crazy people go. Amen. Woo! I go to Impact Church. Now settle down. Some of you just said, I'm not crazy. All right, you will be soon. It's too late. They saw you pull in the parking lot. So, you know, your car's out there. Somebody took a picture. All right, he was angry and he said, don't stop them for the kingdom of God. Can you say the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these little children. I tell you the truth. This is the truth, the living truth, the embodiment of truth, the way, the truth, the life. This is the living, existing truth. The embodiment of truth is just about to tell you the truth. I think if Jesus says, I'm going to tell you the truth, it's a really good time to pay attention, underline it in your Bible, and say, I better know what this is talking about. Here's the truth, folks. You ready for some truth? Here's the truth. Anyone, say anyone. Tell me, does that include you? Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never. Anyone, does that include you? Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child. Not childishly, but childlike. I'm not saying be childish. I like to be a little childish once in a while. I don't know if you've noticed. But childlike, like a child. There's things about a child. There's attributes about a child. There's dispositions about a child. There's something about a child that qualifies for the kingdom. It says anyone who doesn't receive it like a child will never, say never. Well, I'm sure I'll slide in because I'm pretty awesome. No, you too. Anyone, you. Never enter the kingdom. Then he took the children in his arms and he placed his hands on them and he placed his hands on their heads and he blessed them. Can I get an amen? Amen. Not sure what's going on behind me there. It sounds like there's angels walking on the platform. Could you hear that? Do you think it's the fan, Joey? Oh. How many was that just driving a little bit nuts? I mean, like, I can't hear a word you're saying. I can just... All right. Stay with me. You're never going to enter the kingdom, even though it's his pleasure to give it to you and he wants it. There's nothing going to make him happier than to give you the kingdom. You're never going to enter that. You're never going to experience the joy of the kingdom if you don't embrace it like a child. Like a child. So I think that's important. The word bless them is the word kata elugio. Kata elugio. Kata is an intensifier. Kata, it makes it real big. Elugio is he blessed them with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And logio is, root word is logos, which means to speak. So he was literally, what he was doing was he was fervently speaking a blessing over every child. Every child that came, he took them in his arms and he fervently, with force, with intensity, was imparting something to every child. He was fervently blessing every one of those kids because he said, this is the kingdom right here. This is the future. This is what's necessary. Jesus said, get out of the way, don't stop them. This is really what's important. So please, would you sign up to do kids ministry? let's close in prayer. No, I got a bit more. But he fervently blessed them. I mean, Jesus, he's not like trying to do something or make a show or just kind of, well, I'm going to be intense just for fun. I want to show how important these kids are. No, he was imparting something. There was something, because when you use your hands and you bless, the anointed one is imparting. He's loosing a fresh anointing. He's loosing power. He's loosing something into their life that will change them forever. These children will never be the same. These children will walk in a level of blessing. Their lives are going to shift in a massive way because Jesus laid his hands on them and he fervently imparted a blessing. Woo! I don't know about you, but I've been to a lot of places, had a lot of people rub my head, lost a lot of hair from a lot of laying on of hands. But I tell you, there's something about the impartation. There's something about the blessing of God. To invoke a blessing, to impart fervently with intensity. That's from Thayer's Greek lexicon. This is not a cute little story of Jesus shaking hands and kissing babies. Look at Jesus shaking hands and kissing babies. Isn't that nice? That's not what this is about. This is about a transformational impartation of kingdom life and kingdom power. So now I'm going to give you a very deep, practical lesson on how to receive the kingdom like a child. Are you ready? I mean, we're going to put handles on this. Thank you. Put handles on it, Pastor. I want to understand. I want a practical application of how do we do this. Are you ready? Here it is right here. Boom. Priorities for inheriting the kingdom. You ready? Number one, laugh. Number two, trust. Number three, wonder. If that ain't deep enough for you, you will never enter the kingdom. Wow, we got all serious there for a minute. Priorities first. Let's go laugh. Laugh like a child. Laugh like a child. You know, a child told me a joke. It was a few months ago, but it's still one of my favorite jokes. And it was a kid that told me the joke. So it was so amazing. And I literally just about fell down laughing because I thought, that is so great. And he came to me and says, Pastor Carl, you know what's really amazing about chickens? I went, I don't know. Do you know why they're so amazing? I went, no, tell me why they're amazing. Because! You know why chickens are so amazing, Pastor Carl? No, why? Because! Oh, some of you really need help. Hey, some of your laugh meter is constipated. Laugh like a child. Laugh like a child. Jude 1:24. Now to him who is able to keep you without stumbling. Who's able to keep you? Who? Him. Jesus. He's able to keep you without stumbling or slipping or falling. And he's going to present you unblemished, blameless, and faultless before the presence of glory. And how's he going to do it? In triumphant joy. With exaltation. With unspeakable ecstatic joy. I mean, what's going on? How am I going to do all this? How am I going to live this Christian life? He is going to do it with you. He is going to do it in you. He's done it all for you. He'll keep you from stumbling, keep you from falling. He's going to present you unblemished, blameless, faultless in the presence of glory in triumphant joy. Woo! I tell you, you got to know that joy is a big, big factor of walking in the kingdom. Michael Pritchard, he said this, you don't stop laughing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop laughing. Sad truth right here. The average 4-year-old laughs 300 times a day. The average 40-year-old, 4 times. Now listen though, that's average. Who's 40 years old here? You know, give or take, you're around 40? 4 times a day, like, you poor thing. And you know, I know Madeline and George, they've moved the curve. They laugh about 5 million times a day. I mean, our staff, we used to have, before the pandemic, we had citywide prayer meetings for pastors in our church at 9 o'clock in the morning, and our staff would be laughing their heads off. I felt embarrassed, because we're like, Father, we pray you would bless our city. I'd see people looking up, looking towards the office, and they're going, man, they must think my staff are crazy. But it was just laughing. And like Kelly, George, and Madeline, they're not little laughers. You know, they're messy laughers. You know, it's like shock you out of a dead sleep laughers. So I was like, my God, what's going on over here? But you know what? I love laughter, don't you? Who doesn't love watching a kid just laugh? Huh? I mean, come on, let's break the curve. Four times? That means there's a lot of you below average. You may not even squeeze one out in a week. Pastor, you didn't know why chickens are so awesome? Because! Oh, it's rough. It's rough. That's a true story. Pamela Gerloff. I like her last name. It's almost like laughter. Gerloff. Pamela Gerloff did a whole study on laughter. And that's what she said. Isaiah 12, verse 3. Therefore, with joy shall you draw waters from the wells of salvation. How do you get salvation fully manifest in your life? How do you get all the wonderful benefits flowing in your life? How do you get that well pumped up and going, you know, ho? Ha, ha, ha. With joy. When your circumstances are awful, it says God sits in the heavens and he laughs. When the enemy's coming in, boom, God sits in the heavens. He says, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha at the devil. Ha, 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 ha. Lost my job. Ha, 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 ha. You know, when I was a kid, I mean, I could have walked in the house when I was 4 years old, and if my dad said, Carl, listen, I lost my job. No, it's really not funny. I don't even know what you're doing. I don't know how you get a living. I don't even know how to go buy something. I don't care. I come home, there's food, there's stuff. Open the fridge, there's my favorite stuff. It's always there. Everything I need, it's there. There's new clothes in my drawers, there's stuff. I don't know how it happens. It just happens. Woo! You know what? I was blessed with a really good dad. I was blessed with a really good family. But I'm telling you, you got the King of Glory, the Lord Almighty. He's your Heavenly Father. And how much more will he not? Did he give his own son to you? Did he give you his son to redeem you and set you free? Yes. Here's what it says right after that. How much more along with him will he not give you all things? Does anybody need some things? Do you know you get the things out of the well of salvation? Ha, ha, ha. I lost my job, need a new one. Woo! Settle down. I tell you, joy is a big deal, and laughing is a big deal. Psalm 21:6, for you make him to be blessed and a blessing forever. You make him exceedingly glad with the joy of your presence. This is the king writing a song about the king, saying, you make the king glad. You make me rejoice. You make me happy. You have blessed me to be a blessing forever, and you have made me exceedingly glad with the joy of your presence. Is anybody here in the presence of the Lord? Is anybody here in the presence of the Lord? In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Ha, ha, ha. People come in and see the church and they're all in the flesh. You ready? Here's the flesh. It's just another level of holiness. See, I walk into a church, there's no joy. I say, Jesus ain't here. Bye. Bye. Bye, because joy, it's a house of joy. It's a house of intoxicating wine. It's a place of incredible blessing. If there ain't any joy in the house, I'm going to find one that has one. Amen. Amen, because there is exceeding great joy. Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation. I mean, he strived, he did everything he could to try to make himself pleasing to God. And then he finally realized by reading his Bible, he read in Romans where it says, the just shall live by faith. You're made right with God by faith. It's not by striving and all of the things I'm trying to do. You get just with God by faith. And that just erupted in him. And then he said, man, I've got it. And God said, you absolutely do. And he's the father of the Reformation, broke us free from all the nonsense and religious bondage. Here's what he said. You have as much laughter as you have faith. You have as much laughter as you have faith. Let all the happy people say, I believe. The gospel, here's what he said. The gospel is nothing less than laughter and joy. Oh, come on, you got 10 seconds to get happier. I'm going to throw my microphone to someone. All right, number two, trust like a child. Trust. I mean, I had that trust. I trusted my parents. I trusted that whatever they said, it was going to happen. Hey, we're gonna spend a summer vacation in Prince Edward Island. It happened. We did it. We went to Prince Edward Island. My dad told me something was going to happen. It happened. I love that about my dad, because my dad said, if I don't show that your earthly father is trustworthy when I give you a promise, I realize that I'm representing the Almighty, and I want to make sure that when you hear a father make a promise, he always follows through. And my dad always followed through. And I learned very quickly and very easily, because I learned that my dad is faithful, my dad is trustworthy. But I'll tell you something. Here's what Jesus said about you fathers give good gifts to your children, right? They said, yeah, we do. He says, well, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, did he just call me evil? If you being evil know, how much more does your heavenly father not just bestow and lavish you with blessings? How many here have a heavenly father? How many trust him? How many know that he's faithful? How many know that every one of his promises are yes and amen? How many know that? You know that he is trustworthy. You know, if we're going to walk in the kingdom, we got to laugh. And you know why we laugh? We laugh because we trust him, that he's faithful to keep his promise to me. Ha, ha, ha. Doctor said I'm not well. You know what I said to the doctor? Ha, ha, ha. Because a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it on purpose. I'm going to be a child of God intentionally. I'm going to lay hold of it. So quit trying and start trusting. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is like my first memory verse. My parents drilled it into my head. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In everything you do, acknowledge him. In everything you do, just let him in. In everything you do, just say, be a part of this with me. In everything you do, lean into him. Talk to him about it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Lean totally on him. Acknowledge him in every issue. And you know what? He's going to direct you. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you in paths of unprecedented blessing. Man, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares and anxieties on him, because every concern once and for all on him, because he cares about you with the deepest affection and watches over you carefully. Hebrews 13:5 says, for he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor will I give up or leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not. And that's actually what's there in the original Greek. Many translations take out the other two will nots, but there's three of them there. He's trying to make it emphatic. I want to drill this into your head. I will not, I will not, I will not ever relax my grip on you. I'll never leave you helpless in any degree. I'll never let you down. Assuredly not. I trust him. I trust him. And because I trust him, it makes me say, ha, ha, ha. I got a good report. I got a good report. Number three, wonder. Say wonder. I want you to wonder. It's a horrible thing to lose your wonder. It's a horrible thing when I say things like, the Father wants to give you the kingdom. You're like, that's awesome. Service starts at 10. I wonder. Wonder. Acts 20:24. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work God assigned to me, signed by the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it? It's to the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Wonderful. Psalm 40, verse 5, O Lord, my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, they would never, ever come to an end. Wonder. He is wonderful. He is wonderful. He thinks about you. Think about that right there. Think about that. I was in the desert back in Dubai. I went back into the desert where I looked around and they stopped and all you could see was desert. There was nothing but desert. When I picked up the sand was kind of gritty. It was almost like kind of oily and it stuck to you. When you picked it up, it was hard to get off. You had to get something to get it off. But when I looked at all the sand, that verse came to my mind and God said, I have more thoughts about you than the sand that you can see. You think there's a lot of sand out there, Carl? There is. And he said, pick it up. And the grains started to fall through my hand to the ground. And he said, my thoughts for you outnumber the sand. Wow. And you know what? All his thoughts for you are good. It's a whole lot of good thoughts. I'm really annoyed with you today. Really ticked off with you today. No, all his thoughts for you are good, wonderful. Psalm 139, this is David. David had just been called to go home, and there was a prophet there, and all the brothers got skipped, but the prophet saw David, and he anointed David to be the next king of Israel. I mean, a teenager whose dad despised, sent him out to be a shepherd, he comes, and suddenly Samuel, I mean, the greatest voice of God in their day, took an oil flask, poured it on his head, and said, "You are the future king of Israel." And here's what David did. He went back, and this is his personal journal. Well, don't you want to know what David wrote in his journal that day? Well, how did he reflect on that? He went home, and he reflected on it. Here's what he said. "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. Ha, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in the utter seclusion and woven me together in the darkness of my mother's womb. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me. And when I wake up, the first thing I feel is his hot breath on my face. I was waiting for you to get up. You ready for an amazing day? Yeah, let's do some stuff." Imagine walking with Jesus. We fed the 5,000 multitudes of fish. I mean, we got coins out of fish's mouths. I mean, all this stuff going on. Every leper was healed. The whole crowd came and they were all healed. What are we going to do today? You wake up and go, wow, wow. Another day of unprecedented victory. Another day of ridiculous blessing and impartation. Another day of, another day of splendor. I'm up. Wonder what'll happen today. Or is it, I'm up. I wonder what'll happen today. Come on. It's a terrible thing to lose your wonder. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You're royal priests. You're a holy nation. You're God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness so that you could be and you could live in and you could spread his wonderful light. Everywhere I go, I spread wonderful light. Everywhere I go, I am a king and a priest. Everywhere I go, I have authority and I have ability to bring heaven to earth. Everywhere I go, I spread the light of God's glory. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I had a vision of this service. It was different from what I'm having right now. It was wonderful. So, Matthew 13, I'm coming to a rapid conclusion. The sign on the wall says trap door's about to open. Matthew 13, 54 to 58, when he came down to his own country, say his own country, say hometown. Came to the hometown. He taught them in their synagogues and they were astonished. I mean, they were out of their minds. They were just like, what? What? This is crazy. They were totally amazed at what they were seeing. He taught them in the synagogue. They were astonished. And they said, here's what they said. Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? His words were powerful. He spoke with authority. People were healed, delivered, set free. I mean, this was powerful stuff. And they were astonished. They were amazed. And then they began to ask questions. Where did he get this? You know, how did that happen? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother called Mary here? Isn't his brother James and Joe and Simon and Judas? I mean, and his sisters, they're not with us? I mean, where did this man get these things? Look at this. So they were offended at him. There's a journey from wonder to complete commonplace nonsense. Don't ever let anybody rob you of your wonder. Because you cannot receive the kingdom unless you receive it like a child. And if you want to live in a constant flow of the miraculous in your life, never lose your wonder. Speak to yourself, I will never be dull. I will never be a slave to my circumstances. I'm never going to get dumbed down. I'm not trying to offend you. But you see, we start to question, God, this is really terrible. God, why is this going on? God, I don't feel great today. God, this ain't working in my life. Have you ever seen them go when a plane crashes? What do they look for when a plane crashes? What do they look for? The black box. Why? Because they want to see what happened before it went down. And they usually hear stuff like this. Oh no. I don't know if we're going to make it. This looks bad. Not trying to be rude. There's a lot of people that if I check your black box right now, it's a lot of nonsense. It's a lot of negativity. There's not a lot of amazement in there, a lot of trust and a lot of joy. If we're going to mature and we're going to grow in grace, then we got to have that childlike, we laugh, we trust, and we wonder. Don't let anybody steal your wonder. I come every Sunday and I wonder at what God's going to do. I wonder who's going to get healed. I wonder who's going to get saved. I wonder who's going to get delivered. I wonder. And I don't want to be a church where there's no wonder. I don't want to be a church where there's no childlike expectation. And God is in the midst of us. And boy, am I happy. I know it's a lot of pressure. Wonder. So they were offended at him. But Jesus said that no prophet is not without honor except in his hometown. Have you got the hometown attitude? Are you a hometowner? That's just my local church. Just going in. I know all these people. Just Pastor Carl. Going to a conference next week, though, where there's an awesome speaker. Woo! You got a great worship team, a light show and smoke. Woo! But I come on Sunday, I got zero expectation. He's probably going to tell a stupid joke again. You know what's amazing about chickens? I'm just messing around with you. But you know, sometimes we can get that, we can get familiar. We can get that hometown attitude. We start showing up at church at 10:10, 10:15, 10:20. I'm not complaining. I'm happy if people come at all. Hello. Boy, that was harsh, Pastor. Well, I came late, I'm leaving early. But okay. Now, he did not, and even in Mark says he could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. The message says because of their hostile indifference. I'm telling you, wonder is a big deal. And sometimes you're like, well, I want to get deeper into the revelation of what the three colors on the curtain was of the seraphim's right wing. On the seraphim's right wing, there was gold, and there was sapphire, and there was some kind of purple. I just want to get deep into the revelation of why God used those three colors. And I believe that what God was trying to say is, shut up. I don't know why he made it like that, but what I do know is he tore the sucker apart. He's out of the box, and I got access to him every day, and I'm standing in the mercy of God, and I got joy. I got the miraculous. I got wonders in my life every day. I don't even know why, but I know that he loves me, and he will keep no good thing from me, and I can run in his glory every day, and I can loose his kingdom everywhere I go. How? By being a good boy? By knowing the three colors of the seraphim's wing? No! By faith, simple faith. Childlike faith. I trust him. He keeps his word. I believe him, and he's going to bring it into manifestation in my life. Hey, wonder. I've gone overtime, but I'm keeping you for a few minutes longer. You wonder why? Give up on it. I want you to close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. I don't want you to look at your shoe, but I want you to think about your shoe. What shoe do you have on? I want you to get a picture of your shoe. What color is it? What brand is it? Why did you buy it? I want you to get an image of your shoe. Who's got an image of your shoe? Put your hand up. Who's got a broken arm? I want to change. Close your eyes. I want to change your image. I want you to see a jar of Kraft peanut butter. Look, come on. I want you to see it. I want you to see a jar of Kraft peanut butter. You ready? It's opening. The lid is opening. And creamy Kraft peanut butter. Stay with me. Close your eyes. Stay with me. Close your eyes. Right now, I want you to see Jesus. I want you to see Jesus. I want you to look at Jesus. Really do it. Don't look at me. Look at Jesus. He's going to speak to you right now. Hear the word of the Lord. Put your hand up if you see him and you heard him speak to you. Put your hand up if you see him and you heard him speak to you. Put your hand up if you see him and you heard him speak to you. Put your hand up if you heard him, you see him, and he speaks to you. Put your hand up. Keep it up. That's pretty good. You can put your hands down. I'd love to take the time to see what he said. I bet you most of you people heard him say, he loves you. Because you know what? That's what he desperately wants to say. And that's what he wants you to do. You know, we do that activity with the kids in kids' church. And the kids, when they close their eyes, God's speaking. They'll come out and they'll say, well, God spoke to me about Johnny. Hey, Johnny, he's nuts about you. That problem you're having in school, he's going to work it out. We got kids in our Sunday school prophesying over each other, hearing from Jesus and seeing his voice. And you know, when we ask them to do it, say, who saw Jesus? Who had him speak to you? They all put their hands up and they can't wait to share. They can't wait to share. We got people going to prophetic courses. I'm trying to hear the voice of God. And yet kids, we tell a kid, God wants to speak to you. Oh yeah, I just heard him. Hey, Tommy, everything's going to be okay. And it's so amazing that often it's a word for them where God told me that mom, it's going to be all right. It's so amazing. A kid can do it. But you can't, because you've stepped into the realm of familiarity and you let everything offend you until you came to a place where he can't do many miracles among us. How do we grow in the grace of God? We laugh, we trust, and we wonder. Hey, Karl Barth, greatest theologian of the 20th century. He was asked, what's the greatest thing, greatest insight later in life? What's the greatest insight you've ever gained? And when the people heard the question, everybody leaned forward. And he said, the greatest truth, you ready? Jesus loves me, this I know. The greatest mind of the 20th century in theology, here's the deep truth he spit out after years of study and meditation. Jesus loves me. I love this. This is my favorite Karl Barth quote. Laughter is the closest thing to the grace of God. Laughter is the closest thing to the grace of God. I'm wrapping up right now. We don't earn it. We don't merit it. We don't build it. We're given the transforming life of the kingdom, the blessing of God. It's a gift of love and grace, and it's here right now. The weighty, heavy blessing of God is on this house right now. It's on your life. Things are shifting. Things are changing. The transforming nature of God is being imparted to your life. There's no fine print. There's no stipulations. There's no conditions. There's no limitations. The kingdom of God, how does it come? What are the priorities? Laugh, trust, and wonder.